There's nothing better than celebrating the joy of changed lives. Amen? And that happens when we invest ourselves and our resources in God's word and God's people, the two things that last for eternity.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're joining us today in our series in Philippians. And today, Pastor Philip, we're talking about investments and gifts, but probably not the kind most people are thinking about.
Yeah, Paul's talking about what does it mean to be truly rich? And he's going to say it changes the kinds of investments we make. And he's going to call us to invest in things that will last for eternity, namely God's word and God's people. And that's a challenge for all of us to reprioritize our investments and to live for things that matter for eternity. That's what true riches look like. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to teach us about today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we discover what true riches are. This is part three of the sermon, The Basics of Giving. Our text today is Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 23.
The blessing of the giver comes both now and later. The blessing now is that giving actually changes us. It bears fruit in our lives. When we give, it is one of the things that God uses to conform us to the image of Christ. When we give ourselves away, we actually get ourselves back. We become beautiful, generous souls, increasingly like Jesus in every way. The second blessing comes later, and that is what Jesus refers to as storing up heavenly treasure. The biblical principle is that the more we give away in service of Christ and his gospel, the more we receive when we stand with him in glory. That's the economy of heaven. A debit on earth, a credit in heaven. It's the power of generosity. Thirdly, we see here the treasures of eternity, the treasures of eternity. Verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, you have generously and sacrificially supplied my every need, Philippian believers, and now my God will supply every need of yours. And once again, just to be clear, he's talking about spiritual provision mainly here. This is according to his riches in what? Not money, his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about. He says, there's glory for you, Philippian believers, in Christ Jesus. You've met my physical needs. My God will meet your spiritual needs in abundance according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That will be your supply. I want you to live from this glory. Draw on the strength of this glory. I want you to delight in all that is yours in Jesus Christ because it's an inexhaustible supply. His glory is forever and ever. Amen. Amen? You will never run out of the riches of glory that are his and now yours in Jesus Christ. You will never run out. Verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. That's interesting. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Isn't that beautiful right here at the end? There are followers of Jesus now in Caesar's household. Why? Because Paul is a prisoner of Caesar, and the gospel is advancing even in his chains. You cannot arrest the progress of the gospel. It is impossible.
B-
But we still haven't answered our question, have we? We still haven't answered the question we started with. Paul's mode of writing, as we've gone through this passage now, is clearly in keeping with the Greco-Roman customs associated with giving a reciprocal gift. There must be some reciprocal gift given in this exchange, or this doesn't make sense. As we've seen, at every point in this passage, Paul's focus is not on material resources, but mainly on spiritual resources, right? Which are far more valuable than anything this earth has. So here's the question. Could it be that Paul's lack of a thank you here is designed to help the Philippian believers realize that they are actually being sent a gift of far greater worth than any gift they gave Paul in the first place? Could it be that Paul writes with this enigmatic way in order to make them curious to try to figure out where the gift is? That's what I think is going on. Now, what is it that Paul is sending as a gift to Philippi? What is it? Go back to chapter 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Chapter 2, verse 25. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and your fellow soldier and your messenger and minister in my need. Friends, the gifts that Paul is sending to the Philippians are people. His most precious comrades. He is sharing their lives with them as gifts. He is sending Timothy and Epaphroditus to spur the Philippian believers on to love and good deeds so that they might be formed into the image of Christ, that they might stand pure and blameless in glory before God at the day of Christ Jesus. See, the Philippians aren't Paul's benefactors. They've supplied his material needs, yes, but he is supplying their spiritual needs as he sends these examples, these models, these embodied examples and representatives of what it looks like to live a life devout to Christ. If anything, he's the benefactor in this arrangement, you see. But that's not all. Not only is Paul sending two individuals to the Philippians, I want you to see this. Remember in the second verse of Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, he says, he opened up and said, grace to you, right? Grace to you. Here at the end, chapter 4, 23, he says, grace be with you. So in the beginning of the book, grace to you, it's coming to you, it's approaching. And now at the end, grace be with you, it's remaining with you. So what is the grace that was coming to the Philippians as they opened up Paul's letter and which now will remain with them having read through it to the very end? What's the grace? Don't you see? Paul's letter is itself grace. The letter itself is grace, a gift. It is the inspired word of God. These are words of grace. This letter is a gift. Grace means gift, right? Paul is sending to the Philippian believers, on one hand, eternal souls, and on the other hand, the eternal word of God. These are the means of grace, the gifts that Paul is giving. And there are only two things that last forever: God's word and people. God's word and people. These are infinite, eternal gifts that will not rust, cannot be stolen, will never be lost. These are priceless treasures, infinite in value. They are benevolent gifts. And the Philippians' gift to Paul was generous, but Paul's gift to them is full of glory and grace. Do you see that? And friends, the truly rich prize the eternal value of God's word and God's people. The truly rich prize the eternal value of God's word and God's people. Friends, there is no greater return on investment than to invest in God's word and God's people. Amen? No other investment is more secure. No other significance could be higher. Nothing could yield greater satisfaction in life and eternity. There's nothing better than celebrating the joy of changed lives. Amen? And that happens when we invest ourselves and our resources in God's word and God's people, the two things that last for eternity. Paul writes to Timothy, same Timothy we're talking about, later in life, in 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 to 19. I think these words are really good for us today. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Don't you want that? Our takeaway is the words of Jesus, Matthew 6, 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Friends, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Not in theory, not ideally, not as you wish it to be, but where's your heart, really? Let's hold nothing back from our God. He's held nothing back for us. Isn't that true?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today as we dig deeper into the value of eternal things. Pastor Philip, you said that where our treasure is, there our heart will be. That's an interesting order. Why doesn't it say where your heart is, that's where you're going to put your treasure? Seems like it's in the wrong order.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Jesus says this in Matthew 6:21, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That the implication here is that what you value, that's what treasure is. It's what you value, has a tendency to tether your heart and attach your heart to it. And so the thing you prize and value, you start to love, and it starts to shape who you are. And so his whole point is where you put your treasure in life is going to start steering your heart, steering your affection, steering your worship, steering what matters to you. It's going to pull the trajectory of your life toward your treasure. And so if you think the thing that matters most in life is having a big nest egg so you can comfortably retire and cover everything else and be easy and have everything taken care of, and like that's where your treasure is, it's going to draw your heart and affections toward the here and now, toward this world, and away from the eternal, away from the kingdom of God, away from things that matter for eternity. But if instead you intentionally move your treasure, take a piece of that treasure and say, you know what, I'm going to invest this for God's sake, the kingdom of God's sake, for the mission of God, I want to put my resources and my treasure, my earthly treasure, into things that matter for eternity. Your heart will start changing. The trajectory of your affections will start shifting as you start loving the things that you're invested in. And so it's the way we can actually steer our hearts, if you will, by placing treasure in different places. And so instead of making about this world and this life and what I get here and now, if I start investing in things of eternity that have eternal weight and eternal value, it can actually start changing the trajectory of my heart and my life, my discipleship. And I'll find myself starting to love the things of God in a way that kind of loosens my grip on this earthly life. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants to free us from being trapped in this earthly life. And as if that's all we have, he wants us to realize that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then God will take care of all the stuff we need here and now. But our lives will be tethered to something eternal and something weightier and something lasting that will free us from this mortal coil and will press us into the eternal life of the kingdom of God that will go on for forever. And that's the life he wants for us. And so it matters. What do I do with my treasure? It'll change my heart.
Mm-hmm. There's some other things I want to talk to you about, but can you just tell us a little bit about the implication of when Paul sends Timothy and Epaphroditus, that what's the, against the backdrop of gifts? I mean, the Philippians are given supplies, so to speak, and money. What's Paul putting on the table?
Yeah. Well, that's what's so interesting about the form of the letter in the Greco-Roman context, that this letter is clearly written not only to acknowledge the gift that the Philippians have sent to Paul, but it assumes that there's a reciprocal gift being given by the very format of the letter. And so then you have to say, well, where is the gift that he's sending? And it's Timothy.
Yes.
And it's Epaphroditus. And it's the letter, the inspired word of God, the letter itself that Paul's sending with them. There's three big gifts of grace that are coming to the Philippians from Paul. And it's more than what they gave him financially. He's giving eternal gifts, eternal souls, eternal words, where they just gave him temporary resources, you know? And so the way the letter's written forces you to see this beautiful thing that Paul's actually giving these wondrous gifts, and it's God's people and it's God's word that are eternally value. They're eternally important. And that's the gift he's given. And he's helping us to see these are the things that matter in the kingdom of God. These are the things that matter in the end, God's word and God's people. If we invest in the work of God's word and getting it out there, God's people, the salvation of souls, the redemption, discipleship of people through the church, if we get on mission with God and we invest in the things that matter for eternity, God's word and God's people, that return never comes back void. That is an eternal investment that will echo into eternity. And when we invest in God's work and God's people, God's word, it lasts forever. Mm. And that's an investment worth making. That's where the true riches lie.
Amen. But some of our listeners may be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor Philip, are you saying that all we really need to give is our time and we need to send people that we shouldn't give financially? Because I'm ready to send my mother-in-law somewhere. but that's not what we're saying, is it?
Yeah, no. I mean, the whole point is giving everything, right? Christ gave up everything for us to save us. And now it's only fitting that we give ourselves as a living sacrifice in response, in view of his mercies. We're going to give all of ourselves back. That's the Christian ethic, is all of us belongs to Jesus. Our money, our resources, our time, our talents, everything we are, our life belongs to him. And so the call of the gospel is really to give everything, all that we are, in radical self-donation, because God gave himself up for us. And, you know, when he sent Jesus to come and die for us, like, he gave so much to redeem and save us. So we've got to turn around and give ourselves back. It's only fitting. It makes sense. And so this is a holistic, all of life sacrifice, living sacrifice that Paul's talking about. That when we give all of ourselves for God's word, God's people, God's work in the world, That's the greatest sacrifice. That's the greatest investment. That's where true riches lie, is when we give ourselves, we get way more back in return. And everything we give will last for eternity. It's an investment that matters.
How about it, Pastor Philip? You got an illustration that you can give our listeners?
Well, one of my favorite stories is Jim Elliot. You know, I think we know this story. It's been around for a long time. But, you know, he and the others that went down to Ecuador, they were willing to give up everything for the sake of the gospel. They ended up laying down their lives. But there's that famous journal entry that Jim Elliot, when he was a student, when he wrote in his journal, he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And that statement has so much power because of the testimony of how he lived it out. But it was reflective of his heart. He thought, you know what? If I could give up anything on earth to have eternal glory in Christ, to have a life that matters, whatever I give up, it's worth it in light of everything I'm getting. And so no matter what the sacrifice, I'm willing to give it all because I get more of Jesus and my life will count for eternity. And of course, he did that in real life.
There may be some of our listeners who don't know his story. Can you just take a moment?
Yeah, well, so he and Nate Saint and the others went down to Ecuador, and there was a tribal people that speared them to death when they landed. They were going to be missionaries and share the gospel and translate the scriptures, and they laid down their lives on that beach. And I think it was the Curaray River there in Ecuador. And at the time, they called them the Aka tribe. But through that sacrifice, the wives, Elizabeth Elliot and some of the other ladies, they decided to continue the work. And they went down, they shared the gospel. And those tribal leaders, the very ones who threw the spears, gave their lives to Christ. And there was this massive work of the gospel in the middle of Ecuador. And through their sacrifice, not only did this tribe come to Christ, but it stirred up a massive missionary effort all around the world. As people said, "I will go wherever God calls me for the sake of the gospel," inspired by their example and sacrifice. So it led to one of these huge missionary movements. But my point is, you know, like, the Lord knew what he was doing. And Jim Elliot was willing. He said, "I'll just put my life on the table. I give you, God, all that I am. Use me for your glory, no matter what." And in this case, it was a huge sacrifice. Most of us won't have to do exactly what he did. But God redeemed that and made it of eternal weight and glory beyond all comparison. And that's the kingdom of heaven at work. When we give up these earthly lives, we get back so much glory in Christ Jesus. And that trade's worth it.
And amen. Oh, be encouraged today, beloved. Are you all in for Christ? That's God's desire for you, and that's our hope that we can encourage you in your walk with Christ as well. That's why we're offering Peter Mead's book, The New Birth. This book conveys a huge reality that Jesus came to raise spiritually dead people into abundant life. As Pastor Philip noted, Dr. Mead's insights into the new birth are both pastorally wise and profoundly helpful. I think this book opens up our hearts to worship, all because of the foundational truth of the new birth. Discover your story within the big story of Scripture through the lens of the work of the Holy Spirit. It wonderfully explains the theology and the experience of Christian conversion. This is the last week we're able to offer the new birth for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com. or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, that's Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask for the book, The New Birth. Get yours at livinghopeoffer.com. 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.